frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch cat. Fish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women more boys raised on shotguns. We say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you. here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Scientific observation. In my view, scientific observation doesn't exist in this world anymore. Everything's gone mad. Why do I even say that? Well, I posted some videos in the chat room, and I do have a cold in my nose in case you haven't noticed that weird sound in my voice, but it's alright. I'll get over it. I'll use scientific observation and techniques and medicines to try to cure my snivelly thing. Anyway, I posted some videos in the chat room over the last day or so, that Muddy's already scrolled down past with all the things he's typed in the chat room. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world. Wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, Fukushima, all kinds of goodies. People throwing bombs and stuff around, and somewhere inside there is a little bit of science. Somewhere before the panic and during the common sense stage, there's a little bit of science. One of the streams of videos that I posted in there is about somebody that's saying that pretty much Fukushima is killing off the entire ocean, and then there's a string of videos in there that basically says just the opposite, and there is a deal in there where essentially one particular individual, many particular individuals, believe the earth is flat and that space is fake and all this kind of jazz. And then the last video down there in line is one that was a Lid Motor. Who was this? Slider did out there on YouTube, called the Forever Motor. So anyway, here on Mad Science, the search for free energy and high voltage and all that, I talk about a lot of different things that aren't in the school books, and it gets a lot of people rowdy because they just don't, nobody likes it when you question their education. And so a lot of people get frustrated when you start asking the questions. And you know, there's actually a document out there, basically, is it bad to question everything? And of course, it goes into all these different possible scenarios about questioning people on elevators and questioning people whether they were really molested as a child or all kinds of stuff. But it hurts your head. It hurts your brain if you're a free thinker and you start to think about why it is that people get so incredibly frustrated when you question everything. I ain't been to space, so why shouldn't I be able to question whether or not space even exists? I haven't been 40 leagues under the sea, or I haven't been clear across the planet, so I don't know what's happening on that side of the globe. All I know is that the information passed over to me. And in science, I see things that I believe that are possible because of scientific observation. And what is scientific observation? According to Wikipedia, observation is the active acquisition of information from a primary source. That's a key word, primary source. First-hand observation. In living beings, observation employs the senses. That's where, like, you're looking at it, you smell it, you can taste it and touch it, and you can recognize and might even, according to the next deal, observation can also involve recording of data via use of instruments. The term may also refer to data collecting during the scientific activity. Observation can be qualitative. That is only the absence or presence of a property is noted, or qualitative if a numerical value is attached to the observed phenomenon by counting and or measuring. Wow, I barely got through all that. That's a lot of high-tech terminology just to say I looked and watched and this is what I saw and wrote it down and made documents of it or whatever. So anyway, as I sit here babbling like some sort of buffoon, questioning everybody's data, a lot of folks get offended, you know. It seems as though in this world, doomsday, if you're believing in doomsday, then you don't believe that there's a solution for any possible remedy to the situation. So, I've talked to a whole lot of people about a whole lot of subjects having to do with science, and it seems like those who are on the side of the doomsday deal are thoroughly convinced, and from all the data that they have acquired or videos they've watched or people they've talked to, that certain things are a certain way and that's all there is to it. No matter what you say, there's nothing that you can do. You're not going to be able to fix it. We supposedly sent a probe all the way to Pluto. Did a lot of amazing things. 9 years floated through the cold, dark, deep space and radioactivity and whatever else is out there in space. In 2017, here we are, 2017, we had the technology to do all that. Send rovers to Mars, send probes out to moons on Saturn or Jupiter. We did a lot of amazing things according to science. But did we or didn't we? If I question the norm and I question the science, then that makes me a heretic. If I question the theory of relativity, if I question any of the forefathers of science, supposedly, then I might be a heretic. I might be crazy. I might not even know what I'm talking about. What if Einstein was wrong? What if, what in tarnation is that dude's name? I just can't remember. The guy that invented the theory of gravity, what was his name? Isaac Newton, that's it. What if Newton was wrong? What if all the major scientists of the past were wrong? Now, am I saying they're wrong? No. I'm asking a question. What if? What if the theory, which is just a theory, theoretical science tells us how the Earth was created during the Big Bang. Theoretical science talks about string theory. It also talks about quantum physics. Talks about a lot of things without using the word like magic, when in reality they're explaining magic. So does magic even exist? Ask a mainstream scientist what is gravity. They can't really tell you. Ask the mainstream scientist what holds the electron and the atom and the proton and the neutron together. They can't tell you. Nobody's ever got a picture of an electron, but we have the electron theory. Ask them why they believe there's an electron there if they can't even see it. They can't tell you. So, whenever I see all these things out here and I base every idea that I've got, solutions and possible answers to questions that are being asked and presented, some folks want to get really frustrated. Maybe the Pacific Ocean is dying, but maybe it ain't. Maybe Galen Windsor was right. And maybe he wasn't. Scientific observation would tell me that I'm leaning more towards what Galen Windsor said about radiation. They said, "What? Did you know that he died of leukemia?" Okay, but did you know that he lived to be 82 years old? 82 is pretty good. The average lifespan is anywhere from 60 to 100 years if you're lucky. So he lived to be 82. Man that ran around eating uranium to show everybody that it wasn't going to kill him. He was crazy. That's what they said. I'm crazy. That's what they say. So I question everything out there that has anything to do with science related. About common sense or electricity. Why it is that people say what they say. And why it is... That perpetual motion's not possible. why it's not, why it violates this known laws of physics or that. It's against the second law of thermodynamics. That will never work. Really. SpaceX just landed sometime in the last year or so, I guess. Landed a rocket. They shot a rocket up in the air, and they brought it down and landed it on a floating platform in the ocean, a barge. That's pretty impressive technology for a rocket when you have observed other rockets that don't seem to want to fly very straight because of the way that they're engineered. Am I saying that they didn't do it? No, I wasn't there, so I couldn't say whether they did it and do it or not. The video that I put in there about Slider, he has a video titled Forever Motor. And he's using some pretty unique deals and some motor that was custom designed to run in the milliamp stage, and he's going to put it on a shelf and see how long it goes. To me, that's scientific observation. You try it and see how long it lasts, measure it, try to figure out why it did or didn't keep going. That's scientific observation. Now, I say that we got every answer to solve all the so-called energy crises of the world, and we got answers for distilling water so that nobody's drinking cray water or parasitical or whatever. I say that we've got methods by which we could literally redesign the entire energy grid to where we could, be working more in harmony with nature. Now, apparently that makes me insane, I guess, because I question the school book. I say that you can literally design a internal combustion engine that runs off of pure distilled water. Once again, I've spoken out of line. See, I don't know if the earth is flat. I don't know if the earth is round. I don't know if it's concave, convex. I don't know if it's dodecahedron. And personally, I really don't care what shape it is. I got to give the flat earthers props, though, because at least they're out there debating the subject and questioning the norm. Doesn't mean I have to, fall for everything that they're saying on the opposite side of the spectrum. The same thing would apply with any of the things out there, whether we did or didn't go to space, whether this is possible or not possible. I even talked to auto mechanics who've been doing it for years. This individual that was able to literally, from start to finish, build an internal combustion engine. Had the skills to do it. Had the milling equipment and everything. He could do it. He could build an entire engine. But whenever you try to ask this particular individual about building a different style of engine, suddenly there was all kinds of reasons why it couldn't be accomplished. It can't be done. Water, according to science, is the most stable molecule on the planet. It's also one of the most destructive molecules on the planet. It also has a lock of energy potential. You separate the hydrogen, you separate the oxygen, and you got two essentially flammable and or explosive or implosive gases. We know that by energizing water, basically exciting the molecule in there, we can produce friction, which in turn produces heat, such as in the microwave oven. We can boil that water. And heat being one of the things that it's bad for circuitry, it's bad for electrical appliances, anything that has a coil that has insulation on it, because everything out there under the sun has a thermal breakdown, which means if you rub two pieces of paper together fast enough, long enough, it will literally start to tear itself apart. And at some point in time when it reaches its thermal breakdown to the point where the temperature rises high enough to basically ignite it, it will catch fire. Now, you might wear yourself out faster than it's going to be able to catch fire trying to rub two pieces of paper together, but nonetheless, according to science, it is possible to rub two pieces of paper together fast enough and start a fire. They do it with sticks. It's sticks is what they make paper out of, pretty much. It's wood. And so this is how I look at science. Just like that. If everything under the sun has a thermal breakdown point, and if you can maintain less than that thermal breakdown point, then that particular material won't destroy itself. It won't begin to dig into itself. You wouldn't need no oil in an engine if you could maintain the lowest temperature of the weakest part of that deal to where the thermal breakdown point could never be achieved. But since the way that they're designed, and we have systems that are using oil to take away the temperature from that particular part in the machine, once the viscosity of that oil breaks down and the oil becomes too thin to do its job, and it's not moving the heat away fast enough because the oil's already reached its thermal breakdown and it's already getting too hot, and the heat basically matches out with the part, and they both continue to rise together until finally you have failure. That's scientific observation. But if you say something such as, well, you know, if you get that thing to where it won't ever be able to reach that temperature, then it can't never fail. People will look at you cross-eyed. There's a reason, for every solution out there, there's a reason why you can't do what you suggest. The laws of physics, basically, like the gatekeeper against free thinking. You can't do this. It's against this law. It's against that law. Violates Lenz's law. Well, I spent a lot of time researching in every single direction, every single subject that I could potentially get in anywhere near in alternative energy and electrical generation and such, and basically looked and looked and looked for the perfect fuel. Which, after all this time, I believe the perfect fuel would actually be water. I believe that using what you know about physics and what you know about basic science, that you could literally design an engine that will indefinitely run on pure distilled water with absolutely no additives in there. And once you understand the second law of thermodynamics, and you understand viscosity, and you understand thermal breakdown, then you could actually use that same fuel to not only cool, but lubricate as well. You could literally design the perfect engine. Heat is one of the things that, like I mentioned, is bad. We don't want heat in our electronics. We don't want heat in our electrical devices, because heat is what finally gets to the point where the thermal breakdown occurs. Heat is one powerful force, whatever you want to call it. Heat and water, the two most powerful forces on the planet. And so, everything that we try to run, all of our electronics, because of resistance or friction, we generate heat. It's a given. Everything generates heat. Even you. 98.6 degrees is the human body temperature. A lot of electrical processes and chemical processes and such. It keeps your body at a constant 98.6 degrees unless you're outside in lower temperature where you begin to get cold, and your body works overtime in order to warm you back up. And if it gets too hot outside, you got to find a way to cool yourself back down, because at about 103 degrees, your brain begins to boil in its own skull. And so we know our limitations as far as humans. Every bit of science that has been there all this time, scientific observation, tells me that we should be so much further advanced than what we are right now. And then by using what would have normally be classified as waste, heat, we can literally move energy from point A to point B, because we know how to generate it. the plasma reactor that I talk about, energizing gas into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. Take the argon, you shake it up real good. You get all these things vibrating until they produce friction, which in turn produces heat. And science says that heat is light and light is heat, vice versa. And so if you can physically see it, and it's light, then there's heat involved. And so, once again, I use scientific observation to say, well, if that's heat, then I should be able to utilize that heat. I can move that heat to wherever I want, and I can also use processes known as thermoelectricity. Once I understand how thermoelectricity and the thermal breakdown of when thermoelectrics becomes no longer working right, in a Peltier element, if both sides of the element get hot, then the process stops. It doesn't produce electricity. But as long as I have a temperature difference, I can get electricity. It's brilliant. All I got to do is keep one side cool and one side hot. I can transfer the energy one direction to produce heat, and I can transfer the energy the other direction to produce cold. So I can cook my food on one side and freeze my soda on the other. It's pretty intelligent scientific observation. And with all these technologies available to us, and with all the people in the past who have pointed things out that just didn't seem right, I get kind of dumbfounded when I see people freaking out over the world. I get kind of dumbfounded when I see that people are basically in panic mode. The world is coming to an end. The sky is falling. Doomsday. Everything's dying off. Well, might just have to take me a trip to the ocean to make sure. Might have to take me some measuring equipment down there and check it out. But when I get there, I'm going to use scientific observation. And I'm going to find out the truth. In the meantime, all I've got to work with is what I've learned and what they call science. And what my brain thinks about mechanically. And what my mind tells me, and my eyes tell me, and my senses tell me. That something in this world ain't right. Something just ain't on the up and up. Slider did that little motor there. And I honestly believe that, according to science, that thing's going to run down at some point. Something's going to go wrong. There's no such thing as perpetual motion. There's no such thing as a forever motor. Even though science will also say that objects in motion tend to stay in motion, and objects that are not in motion tend to stay that way as well. Knowing how energy travels and everything from static electricity to light, wind, heat. There's no reason under the sun why it is not possible to literally design a self-contained generating system that will run forever. As long as you understand the physics of what causes things to fall apart, try it sometime. Take a little 110 wire welder and weld a big clump on the side of your drive shaft. Why would you want to do that? Because it'll prove something. That when you start driving that vehicle down the road, those things are meant to be balanced. They're meant to be precision so that they don't start to generate a vibration. When you start driving that down there, now that you put that big clump of iron on the side of that drive shaft, it will begin to vibrate. It's start off kind of slow there at first, but then it'll begin to vibrate even harder and harder. The faster you drive, the harder it'll vibrate until literally it will rip that drive shaft right out from under that vehicle. It will cause failure in the bearings. It will cause failure in CV joints, friction, heat, pressure. It wasn't meant to do that. And so, you can figure this out with scientific observation. If you can understand the physics of what tears what apart, then you can also understand the physics of what it would take to literally make something that would be, at the very least, 100% efficient. Now, I question doomsday. I question science. I question NASA. I question the government. I question anybody out there who tells me that it's not possible. And so with that said, I can make a whole lot of people upset in a hurry by questioning all that they have learned throughout their entire life. I ask the question is, why is it that here we are in year 2017 and we still ain't got situations resolved? Scientifically and mechanically, I'm sitting here looking at everything necessary to literally do just that. I could be very well insane. I could actually be wrong. Maybe none of it's real. Buddy says, when I grow up, I want a hairdo like Shaziz. Stephen Gibbons says, I believe Shin's up a Tesla coil wearing a nylon jumper. That sounds exciting. So Thomas, are you there?
No.
No. Do you have any thoughts on my insanity?
Like I said, man, it sounds like an existential crisis that you have to question everything. Questioning something is one thing, but if you question everything, you have no basis, no grounding to sit yourself in order to, position yourself from where you're at. That's like trying to basically drive in space with tires. What do you grip on to get traction so you can go somewhere?
Well, see, that would be sheer stupidity. To me, mechanically and scientifically, that would be sheer stupidity.
So that means that questioning everything is not very smart. You have to have something that you're willing to accept in order to base the rest of everything and all your questions on.
So, as long as I'm questioning what scientific observation has shown that will not work, or will work, I don't know, man. All right. You obviously have to have traction for a tire to get grip and go.
So that means you have to basically observe yourself and decide what is questionable and what's solid, what's fact. What do you already know versus what do you not know?
Steven says, I'm sitting here questioning Sir Ziz's question. I love that guy. So, I'm just trying to get a grip on, we got doomsday out there, man. It's all doomsday. We got a government's out blowing crud up, and there's another doomsday. Want to get something accomplished in this world, you first got to get past all that. You first got to get past the naysayers, the people who should have studied science. and should have recognized that there are other things to everything. There's possibilities out there. You know, if 9 times out of 10, the same result happens in a scientific experiment, but 1 time something different happened, I don't care about the 9 times out of 10 why the same thing happened. What I want to know is why did that one specific time, why did that happen differently? You understand what I'm trying to say there?
Am I a sounding board?
Huh?
Am I a sounding board?
What's a sounding board?
Now, somebody that's only there for the purpose of basically saying, sure, well, sure, I don't know,
No, why would I want something like that?
Well, I'm just like to ask, why do I understand what you're saying? Does it matter? Just finish putting your thought out there, man. Roll with it.
Sounds like that one scene from Cheech and Chong.
Well, I was going to say, why you got to keep stopping when there's a green light? Don't stop when there's a green light. You cause an accident.
All right, well, I've been told that the radioactive material is not dangerous. I've also been told that the radioactive material is dangerous. I've utilized scientific observation and common sense and stepping back and listening to both sides of the fence on every single subject under the sun related to radioactivity. I've also heard those who shout about different materials involving uranium. And I've heard their explanations of how some things will, you know, millions of years, and you're all going to die, and it turns out a particular deal only has a half-life of 8 days. Some of them only have a half-life of a year. And when you talk about the radiation levels that they are sending off and the speeds at which they are letting these things loose and the dangers therein and all that kind of jazz there. There are solutions on how you can actually clean things up in this world. There are ways that you could utilize these materials in a whole complete and different manner so that they'd never even have the option to get out of hand. There's so much that humanity just steps right over out of fear or whatever. If Galen Windsor was right, then we had free energy forever. If Galen Windsor was wrong, then the doomsdayers are right. Says right up at the top of this radio station, nature needs no improvement, only the arrogance of man requires change. That was written by my friend Steve. So, what does radioactive mean? Hi, Justin. Oh, man. Anyway, radiation and heat, they all got something in common. The faster you vibrate something, the more friction it produces, the more heat it produces. The waste product of a nuclear power plant generates heat. Even long after, they put them in cooling pools for 6 to 10 years after before they can move them. There's enough fuel on this planet to literally run every single light bulb, every single electric motor, every single computer and appliance and everything for the rest of eternity. There's enough energy in the atmosphere to do the same. But when I say something like that, I'm crazy. Because it doesn't match what the school book says. It defies the second law of thermodynamics. Oh, really? It defies Lenz's law. It defies gravity. What if your perception of what gravity really is isn't gravity? Do you know what gravity is, Thomas? Thomas?
No! Man, you're making me unmute, and people are going to be talking about my eating, man.
Do you have any understanding of gravity, what no. science says?
No.
Well, maybe gravity ain't what gravity was portrayed to be. Let me Wikipedia here. Gravity. What is gravity? What is gravity? Let's see what Wikipedia has to say. Well, the first thing that comes up on Google. Physics. Gravity. The force that attracts a body towards the center of the Earth or towards any other physical body having mass. For most purposes, Newton's law of gravity apply with minor modifications to take the general theory of relativity into account. Extreme or alarming importance seriousness is another use for the word gravity. It's the gravity of the situation. Oshaziz has lost his mind. So, what is gravity? I don't know, but the Earth has something amazing going on.
Hey, man. Nobody has an answer to that that's definitive. That's why they spent so much money on the Super Hadron Collider. And trying to figure out what that is, man. What causes it? We can measure it. That doesn't mean that we actually know what it is.
Well, what if I say what if I say gravity is pressure? What if I said that?
I'd say that that's probably just a way of basically, I don't know, blanketing something, man.
All right.
I see gravity can create pressure, but I don't think it is pressure.
The Earth is 3/4 covered in water. We have thermal vents and we have volcanoes that continuously keep a cycle of boiling and evaporation. We have the heat from the sun that continuously causes the act of evaporation that basically puts moisture, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen and other little small things in the atmosphere, which produces pressure. It actually gives us air to breathe. We have a symbiotic relationship with all the plants on this planet that when we breathe out carbon dioxide, the plants absorb the carbon dioxide and scrub off the sugar through a process called photosynthesis, which is plant food for the plant. Then releases back into the atmosphere fresh oxygen for us to breathe. So we need plants. Plants need us. We feed the plants. So, with that said, we are literally standing in a gaseous state. We're standing on the Earth surrounded by water. We're standing on the Earth surrounded by hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, all of which has pressure. In our bodies, we're 3/4 covered in water. A submarine has ballast tanks so that you can literally go up and down inside of water. When we get inside of water in its solid state, which is not solid, liquid state, because of the heaviness of the molecule, when we get into water, we can only go so far before the pressure of that water basically crushes us into nothing. But when we're out here in the atmosphere, we can literally walk around in it because it's in a gaseous state. We're standing on there. We can actually swim on the top of the water. Because even though we're 3/4 covered in water, we have lungs that can act as like airbags. We can float. We have a little bit of buoyancy in water. In the gaseous state, we have a lot of buoyancy, or lack thereof, because of the weight, the ballast tanks in the submarine. So we can walk through the atmosphere because, you know, we're stuck to the ground. The atmosphere is not as thick as the ocean. And on some planets, they say that the pressure is so extreme that you would be crushed instantaneously. Like, I believe it's Venus or Mercury, one of the two. But nonetheless, the ocean and the volcanoes continuously recycle the entire thing, all the water. No matter what you do, you can't seem to destroy water. They say energy can neither be created nor can it be destroyed. So, where does it go? It gets recycled back into the system. And it's amazing that during the process of separating hydrogen and oxygen one way or the other, it produces an electrical charge. When ice crystals in the atmosphere scrub up against each other, they build up a static charge, which then in turn shoots a lightning bolt across the sky, superheats the hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, and produces ozone. So the Earth is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. And we're literally swimming around in a massive amount of energy. And here in the year 2017, science still can't figure out that energy is free. Can't do it. So, if we're literally swimming in an ocean of gas while standing on the globe, or flat earth, whichever one you choose, 300-pound man can't jump as high as me, because he's 3/4 covered in water, or 3/4 water, and I'm 3/4 water, but he weighs more because his mass is larger than mine. You may not even be able to run as fast as me because I got long, lanky legs, but I'm skinny enough I can just cut through the wind and the hydrogen and oxygen and nitrogen and all the molecules floating around us at any given time. That's scientific observation. Why I can move where I do and how. But why I can't float. Helium is lighter than air, and so it's more buoyant than I am. And it can go up. Up into the sky. Where do you suppose helium goes once it gets up there, man?
You're questioning everything, so I can't give an answer.
Well, that's scientific observation. Questioning everything. Why does this occur?
No, that's not scientific observation. Scientific observation is a very strict set of guidelines that you use in order to reach a conclusion based on your observations. Science is a discipline. Nobody seems to get that. It's not a religion. It's not a set in stone thing. It's just a path that you use in order to obtain a destination.
So, why can't science get its act together then?
Because science is still just a path. How can a path determine what to do or where to go or how to be when it is just the path? You are not a path. You're the interloper. You're a traveler. So you can't be science, and science can't be you.
Well, I would say that
that means that science can't make decisions. The interlopers that use science have to make the decision.
I would say that my theory of gravity is just as good, if not better, and more plausible than Newton's theory.
Well, I don't understand what Newton's theory has to do with your theory, though. You know, I mean, why they're mutually exclusive 100%. You're just saying it's pressure? I mean, what's pressure? What creates pressure? How about that?
Well, we know that in water, water has a certain amount of weight per, let's just say, gallon or cubic foot.
What? No, hold on. Take your hand. Hold your hand out in front of you. Look at your fingers. Create some pressure with your fingers. Now, stop creating the pressure with the mechanism you're using to make it. See if it continues. Is it self-perpetrating?
For every action is supposedly an equal and opposite reaction.
Hold on. What did you use to create the pressure initially?
Well, in your method, it would have been my mind and then my hand.
But what part of your body is creating the pressure?
Looks like Muddy wants in.
Does he?
Yeah.
Get ready for some muddy water.
If I,
But hey, listen, man, don't let this distract from my question, man. What actually caused the pressure? When you were creating the pressure and you stopped creating the pressure, what were you activating and not activating with your brain?
I was producing a thought which sent the signal down through my muscles and the nerve endings and told me to exert a force on basically just the air that was surrounding.
What stopped working when your brain stopped sending that signal?
Howdy.
Hey, turn the background thing off, because I can still hear Shaziz from like 5 minutes ago.
Anyway, get to your point.
Hold on. Let's finish what we were doing, man. We're doing scientific observation and a scientific experiment. What was on, and what was working, and what wasn't working that caused that pressure to stop and cause it to be created?
My mind told my muscles to react and exert a force. And I
Hold on. Let's do it a different way then. Where's the mind of the earth that causes the pressure that pulls us down, and the muscles? It doesn't have to be thinking, but what creates that those same effects in order to create that pressure?
Mute your mic. Yes, thank you. Now,
were you not able to hear what I was saying?
No, I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Okay, if your mind tells your muscles to do something and it's creating pressure between your fingers by activating your muscles, where are the muscles and the mind that tell the muscles to work to create the pressure, say, on you right now, pushing down you, because you're the one observing, to hold you to the earth?
Where's the pressure coming from?
What's creating the pressure? What's the muscle behind the action creating the pressure then pushing you down? Just going with that, never mind the mind that's activating the muscle. Because we know that basically, if you pay attention the entire day, I've paid attention more than an entire day to the pull of gravity on me, and I've never felt it give up. So I'm going to assume that either the mind is activated all the time, or there is no mind necessary. It's an involuntary muscle if it is pressure that's pushing me down.
It's all the gas around you, man.
Well, what's pressing it down?
Well, they say that that space is a vacuum, which
Right. Every time I've observed a vacuum, though, it didn't push, it pulled.
What
it
would tell me that...
to absorb and fill itself up. So what's pushing it down?
Why don't you let me finish? If space is a vacuum, it would tell me that everything that goes up would continue to go up because it's getting sucked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, scientific observation just made me a heretic. But, if you was in a pressurized container, on the other hand, the gas wouldn't expand. Instead, it wouldn't escape. Instead, it would pressurize a container.
Hold on. We're trying to quantify pressurization as being gravity, so let's get away from the idea of a pressurized vessel. We're not pressurizing a vessel. It's a vessel that's sealed. Therefore, if you've got pressure, it builds up.
That's right.
Right? So let's stop using a term for the vessel that it's designed to create this effect, because we're not trying to put an intelligent design behind something. We're just trying to scientifically observe what's going on around us to try to explain an action that you asked about earlier called gravity.
I also asked you what you believe gravity is.
Well, see, I'm trying to stay away from belief, because you asked about scientific observation, and scientific observation requires that I disconnect myself from my beliefs and attach myself to my knowing.
Well, scientific observation also allows everybody out there to believe what they want, because they call it theoretical science is what they call it.
We're getting muddy now. We're diluting everything down so that basically any answer can be considered right or not.
Everything has a mass. Even water, even gas has a mass. Heavier gases will fall and lighter gases will rise. So, while you're on the Earth and the Earth is doing what the Earth does, thermal generators are literally boiling water, producing steam. The sun itself is actually producing a force on the Earth via light or whatever, all the radiation. Some would call it frequency, vibration, whatever. But nonetheless, heavier gases fall, CO2 falls, oxygen can only go so high, and so on up down the line. And so all that gas over the top of your head would literally exert a pressure on you. Being that you are heavier than those gases, then you would be less buoyant than those gases, and you wouldn't float. You wouldn't fly off into space.
Right. So, that doesn't explain what gravity itself is that's causing all of these gases to be under pressure, though, and to be pushing down on me, and for me to be at the bottom and them be on top. You see what I'm saying? You ask what I believe. I don't believe that gravity is pressure. I believe that gravity creates pressure. If you want my theory on what gravity is, I would say I look at magnetism and almost everything else, including radiation, and see that when it passes through a solid mass, all of these things are weakened by the time they come out the other side, and they convert. The weakness is caused by a conversion to other energy sources. So gravity, to me, would most likely be that there is a pressurizing energy that is striking the Earth as the example of mass, and when it exits the other side, it has less energy and less pressure that it can apply in reverse, meaning it's got less lift. So the stuff coming in from the other side, pushing people down to that side of the planet, doesn't have the same amount of lift that it has by the time it gets to me, so it's not pushing me up harder than the amount of pressure that I'm getting on top of me from the energy that's striking the Earth coming from my direction headed toward them. And instead we end up with a little bit of gravity and a decent amount of heat coming from the pressure created and the passing through of this material by that energy source as well as magnetic fields.
So, you just hit another key term right there. Another another dome over the earth type thing.
Not a dome, just sure. An energy source that's in the universe. It's filling the whole universe up, moving around in all different random directions.
Sure,
and when it passes through something, it comes out the other side weaker.
Sure, there's a dome over the earth. It's called the electromagnetic field. And our scientific observation of what electromagnetic fields can do is literally with induction heating, you can put an object in between there, and the pressure exuded on that object will produce friction in the electrons and cause this thing to glow red hot and finally boil, and burn, melt, so whatever. So all these gases trapped inside this huge magnetic field is literally living under a dome, and even on a globe, Earth, the magnetic field keeps all the gases from being sucked off into the atmosphere. If you lost your magnetic field, then your atmosphere would be able to suck right out into space.
Hey, listen, man. If you take a magnet and you hold it over a piece of steel, like a paperclip that's laying on a table, right, or laying on the ground, what happens?
The force is sucked to, the paperclip is sucked to the magnet.
Which means that you have now a magnetic field that's stronger than the Earth's magnetic field, don't you? Now, if that's so, then why can't you hold gases inside of the space capsule with just magnets instead of having to actually seal it shut?
Why couldn't you? It's a magnetic...
Well, we haven't tested it, but...
It's a force of pressure.
The only thing we have to go by are people saying that they cannot use that, that have strong evidence that they have gone to space, because we've seen the shuttles lifting off and disappearing into the air and coming back later.
The Hadron Collider literally...
That tells me that the magnetic field is not strong enough to do that, and therefore it is most likely something else that's causing both the air to stay and the magnetic field. And the magnetic field may be responsible for assisting the trapping of the air once it gets here, but I don't think that's creating the gravity on the planet, because if it was, then we could basically create gravity immediately and trap air onto a body instead of only being able to trap nickel and iron and other ferrous objects to a magnet when they're in space.
In nature, the strongest force always wins out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Earth in itself, size comparison wise, had a magnetic field such as a neodymium magnet, that would be one massive magnetic field that would literally suck the moon right to the Earth. Ting! If there's any metal on the moon whatsoever, it would literally suck it right to the Earth. Pow! We'd get hit with it. Now, when a rocket's supposedly going into space, it's exuding a massive amount of force, thrust from underneath, because there's actually solid under there, and then you get it into basically gas and pressure and all that, and this thing is flying at amazing speeds, which actually is able to leave the magnetic field of the Earth. And on the way back, you come in so hot that they literally have to put heat shields underneath the bottom of this thing in order to be able to resist the friction of the attraction of just you're flying in towards the doggone Earth, and you got to figure out a way to slow your way down before you just slam into it and bam, you turn to dust. So the gases that are trapped inside the magnetic field don't have that amount of thrust to get out. But that field and the gas being trapped in that field would exude a downforce pressure on anything below it. You see what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah, but I'm still not I'm still not convinced at all.
Well, It's a theory, just like the theory of everything else. It's from my observations, what I perceive.
Listen, the reason I'm not buying your theory is because I'm seeing too many observations of my own that say it's wrong.
Well, you know, there are some people that believe you literally create your reality as you go.
Yep, I know. I've heard people go on about that. Yep. And I think there's some truth to it, but I don't think it's, you know, quite like people think. So, I don't think it's as absolute as people would like to believe, you know.
So, while we're down here and we're looking at all the information presented to us that, you know, certain things are dangerous, so don't go around them. Certain things are impossible, so don't try them. It says that even if I...
You know what I see is a problem here?
What?
You assume that because somebody says something that isn't possible, that being impossible doesn't mean that other things are possible. You see what I'm saying? So if you've got somebody that says that's not possible, and they decide not to try what you're trying, that means that most likely they believe that something else is possible, and they're going to try their thing. If for anything to be impossible, something else has to be possible in order to press against it. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I think understanding how gravity works is kind of essential for a lot of a scientific advancement that we need to occur in, you know, when it comes to the technological field.
Well, I believe that in the history of time, we have already defied the laws of gravity. I believe that we have sent rockets way up in the air. And I believe that way back before rockets even existed, they understood the laws of gravity to the extent that they were actually able to defy the laws of gravity by using science to do so. They filled up a hot air balloon and floated up to the top. Cool. Now if we want to get down, we got to be less buoyant. So how do we do that? Either let some of the heat out so that you can lower yourself down. It's the same thing.
So basically they threw you out of the hot air balloon so they'd stop having so much hot air?
Yeah. If you want to go up and down in the water, you got to fill the tanks with water so that you can sink. If you want to get back up to the top, you got to pressurize the tank and push out the water so that you become more buoyant and you can float. Now, why wouldn't those same principles with the hot air balloon and the submarine apply to why it is that humans aren't being thrown off into space? We got weight stuck to our feet and we're floating around in a gaseous state and we're able to move from point A to point B, but whenever it gets cold contracts and heat expands. And so it's plausible to think that the pressure that is created by when water from the ocean makes it down into a thermal vent and then steams out and then basically evaporates into the air and releases hydrogen and oxygen and whatever is else contained in it to build up a big old giant cloud.
Well, listen, man. There are those that believe that gravity is nothing more than a spring, too. That's why you can't get any energy out of it.
A spring?
A spring, yes.
Like a coil spring? Or
a coil of wire, yes. The only way to get energy out of it is to put energy into it. Yeah. Now, honestly, if that were the case, though, then the pressure theory you have would fit much more effectively. But since I'm seeing so many holes in it, that tells me that that's most likely wrong, and that means that most likely there is a way to get energy out of it without putting it into it. That there's stored energy there to be drawn out of it is being stored by something else, and you just have to figure out how to poke a hole in it to release that energy.
You know, it's funny because what I said, science said a long time ago about Mars, they lost their magnetic field, so they lost their atmosphere. And you know what would cause the magnetic field to fail on Mars? The same thing that would cause our field to fail on Earth. If the core of our Earth was to cool down and stop, well, we would lose our magnetic field and all of our atmosphere would escape into the vacuum of space. That's what science says. And so with that said, then that means that magnetic field is literally like a dome around the entire Earth.
Hey, back up, man. You're saying there's no atmosphere on Mars? Why are there all the pictures from Mars having a thin atmosphere? Not as thick as Earth's, but there's still an atmosphere there.
I don't know, because I question NASA's integrity when it comes to Mars.
Well, I question your integrity, then.
Well, and that's why I said, if you are
Listen, man. There's also the fact that I've sat with a friend who has a very large... He has an even larger telescope than he had then. But he's kind of a nut about that stuff. I mean, he's built his own observatory in his backyard. So, of course, he used to work for IBM, so he had the money to do this. But the point is, you know, everybody that we looked at out there, like we look at the moon, no atmosphere. You know, you don't see any haze around it. So I'm going to assume there's no atmosphere there. Meanwhile, when we've looked at other bodies like Venus and Mars, we can see a haze around them. That tells me, with what little bit of observation I've got, that there's probably an atmosphere around that, which means that losing its atmosphere is a load of hooey. Maybe it lost some of its atmosphere, but I don't believe it lost all of it. And therefore, there's still the fact that the magnetic field and the gravitational field are just working together to hold as much atmosphere as we have.
If you
one or the other, you still end up with some atmosphere, but not all of it being lost.
All I'm telling you is what science told me. And the only way that Mars could maintain a...
You got mainline to science?
Only way that Mars...
Pray to God?
Only way that Mars could maintain a small atmosphere would be the heat from the sun keeping it warm enough to literally produce some sort of magnetic field.
But what causes ours to get hot? Why is ours hot?
Because we got that molten core, according to science.
Why is the core molten?
Because of friction, because of the moon's tug on the Earth, because of thermal heat from the sun.
So it couldn't have anything to do with the amount of pressure, even though every time we've looked at any time something's been pressurized, it gets hot.
Well, sure.
Okay.
I say we take a quick music break because it looks like we've stirred up the natives, and it looks like Raymond wants in, and Justin wants in, and Muddy just bailed out.
Did Raymond try to call you?
He's there, but we're going to take a music break.
All right.
Ask whoever wants in to this feed.
Turn it up. I'm sorry.
Operator, give me the number for 911. Yes, officer?
Clock is 40 miles an hour back there. Do you know what the speed limit is, y'all?
Well, according to that sign right there, it's 40 miles an hour.
Step out of the car, please, sir.
Wait a second. Aren't you Stan's little friend?
Sir, step out of the car, please.
Yeah, you're the one who always plugs up the toilet at our house.
I am a cop, and you will respect my authority.
Yeah, right. You better get back to school, little boy.
Oh!
Get your ass in jail!
Ow! Hey, what the hell are you doing? You can't do that! Ow! 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 Ow!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
All right, and so we're back. So, basically, I put a notice in the chat room down there. It says, if you are easily offended by someone questioning everything, today's show may not be for you. That was my disclaimer. So, if you're offended or frustrated, sorry. But I question everything. I question science. I question organizations and NASA and all the different government agencies of the world. I question everything, period. That's it. So, hi Raymond and Justin and Tom. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
So, you have any thoughts?
Well, you're having a discussion about gravity, and you hit a lot of key topics, and I know you're not one for, you know, being very politically, you know, formal or correct or anything either, so I notice it makes it hard for you to really get out your true thought of what you're trying to say. Yeah, it's all a decimal value between hot and cold. That's how vibration is taking place.
Well, do you know that the word boiling can be a misnomer in science?
Right. Boiling all has to do with what pressure you're at, right?
Yeah, well,
it's all an oxidization rate. At what change does it occur?
If you tell somebody... just the average Joe that you're going to boil water, the first thing that comes to their mind is heat. Of course, now Raymond's explained that how you can actually boil water in room temperature, and that actually science shows that if you boil water in a vacuum, that the temperature goes in the opposite direction as opposed to heat.
Yes.
So, that...
It's a disassociation in the molecular structure, right? As one would say, we're using water, we're saying it's a liquid, you know, and it takes this much energy to disassociate that volume at this pressure, right? If you're at your normal pressure, your normal room pressure, it takes a lot of energy to disassociate that water and get it to start cavitating.
Well, everything that I've heard tells me that energy's free. But if I say those particular words, that terminology, woo boy, I tell you what.
Well, our forefathers did build the generators, the dams, right?
They're still working.
Right, but if you look at the Niagara Falls Generating Station specifically, and you actually go to Google and ask how many houses that it supplies, and you were to take the mass of those generators, those rotor stators, and divide that mass up to how many houses it powers, you'll actually see that it's no more than something that you can hold in your hand. And the only thing that it has constant, which is water falling, gives it a constant. It's guaranteed that 60 hertz cycle.
Do you know what a barometer is?
Yeah, it measures density.
Yeah,
in the atmosphere.
Measures pressure in the atmosphere. it's kind of ironic that I'm sitting here talking about potential gravity being pressure when we use a barometer to measure the pressure around us. See, right before it gets ready to pour down rain, and you can actually feel a barometric pressure drop, and you can feel a cool air rush in as that's occurring, and you know that within the next 5 minutes it's going to start raining. Have you ever figured that out yet?
Yeah, you can take a cup of water and fill it up full and place a piece of plastic over top of it and tip it upside down and hold it in the air. And the next time you get a different pressure in the atmosphere in your local area, that cup will actually release the water.
Stephen Gibbons said in the chat room, he said, there is no oxygen at the Earth's core. Also, what we call gravity decreases the closer you get to the center. Search results at the very center, the gravitational force is zero because there is equal mass pulling on you from all sides, and it all cancels. If you built a room there, you could float around freely. That's what it meant to say that gravity is zero at the center of the Earth. However, the gravitational well is a different story. Buoyancy force, an object is equal to the weight of the fluid displaced by an object, or the density of the fluid multiplied by the submerged volume times the gravitational acceleration. You calling me dense? Are you calling me dense, brah? I don't know, man. I don't think you're dense, but you're not as buoyant as a hydrogen atom. Anyway, I threw this out here to shake the foundations of mad science up today. To literally get the conversation going, because it seems like what has happened here in alternative energy is that a lot of people are getting discouraged and just saying the heck with it and throwing their hands up and walking away, including myself. I've wanted to shut my stuff down so many times it ain't even remotely funny, because it's aggravating.
You can't do that.
It's aggravating because I see we got all kinds of potential solutions and answers and energy potentials that we could use to, basically solve the so-called energy crisis and basically solve the so-called climate change, whatever, disruption. And at the same time, while I'm patching holes in the boat, other people are poking holes in the doggone boat. And if mankind can't get their act together, we're going to experience the fishbowl anomaly. Do you know what the fishbowl anomaly is?
No.
Well, put a goldfish in a bowl with some nice fresh water. You feed this fish, he's happy, he's swimming around, everything's going wonderful. He's doing just fine. He looks out at you and you look in at him and you guys love each other and little hearts are floating in the air. Heck, you name him George. You know, George, he's swimming around this fish tank, minding his own affairs, just happy. He's got plenty of food. He's got a nice, comfortable fishbowl to live in. But something terrible starts to happen. Old George, from eating the fish food, will start having to pee and poo in his own water. There ain't no bathroom set up for him. He can't just run over to the next fishbowl and use the bathroom. So he's using it in his fishbowl. And so, eventually, George starts to not feel so good. And so he looks out at you and he's all sad and everything. And he's like, can you do something? I'm like hurting here, you know. And you don't do nothing. You know, somebody with some common sense would say, oh, George is in trouble, and take some of the bad water out and replace it with some good water so that George could actually be a little more comfortable. But after a while, if no outside force basically cleans up George's water, the alkaline in that water will raise to such high levels that it'll burn old George's gills, and basically he won't be able to breathe anymore, and he'll go belly up, and then he'll get the moment of silent treatment as his once beloved owner flushes him down the toilet. This is what's happening to humanity. The Earth has a lot of capabilities of cleaning up the world. It cleans itself up. It's a self-contained biosphere. Recycles everything. It recycles the water.
So what are you saying? That man's done a lot of harm.
Well, sure, man's done a lot of harm.
So now do you see why I say that man is parasitical?
No, because man is not parasitical. Man is ignorant.
Man is dumping one garbage truck of plastic in the water every minute.
Man is not parasitical. Man is ignorant.
What's the difference between ignorant? Is it just a polite way, a formal way of saying that we're cockroaches?
No. Don't make me hang up on you, Justin.
I'm not. You're saying that we all have beliefs and a perspective and observation, and I can't help to open my eyes and see and call it for what it is. It may be rude or blunt or brutal in this era the way that I'm saying it, but I'm only saying it the way that I see it.
Well, man has been deceived by other men in this world. Scientifically, physically, emotionally, mentally deceived. And if people like us who have any kind of intelligence want to guide those people somewhere other than where they're at, then we need to not be discouraging them in research and to not be telling them that you're not more than a parasite on the earth. But it's not true. They just don't understand what it is that they're doing to themselves. Eventually, nature will clean man completely off the planet. And from that point on, nature will rebuild itself. And if you do believe in evolution, then nature will rejuvenate everything back in the same process, and eventually there will be another stupid man on the planet. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I acknowledge what you're saying. Right? And as Thomas said, like, if you're using science, you got to leave belief out of it and put the fact there, right? Well, from my observation, if I use science, we say that a parasite is something that it lives off the host. And we're living off of the planet. And yeah, sure, we can be doing greater and better things as we once did before as what we are. But we're not.
And that's what I feel like our job has been, is to try to enlighten people to the potentials of looking past what you've been told. The school book, whatever. Any book, anything under the sun that you've been told by somebody out there who wants to maintain a power structure and finances. And you use a little bit of common sense, we could accomplish a lot. There's nothing in this world that we cannot accomplish, including curing every single disease on this planet. Diseases don't just happen. Dr. Lorraine Davis or something like that, Dorette Day, or I can't even remember what her name is. Look it up. Anyway, she wrote a book called Diseases Don't Just Happen. Out there in the world of radioactive material, people have took uranium out of the ground, which is a natural substance, and they had put it in centrifuges and picked this larger molecule and this smaller molecule and separated the two and combined them into a ceramic and made a hot rod that they could put then into a zirconium casing and put down inside water, and the radioactive decay would heat the zirconium up, which would transfer to the water outside the zirconium and boil water. When it got to the point where it could no longer sustain a steady boil, it was classified as depleted. It was then in turn moved underwater back over into a cooling pool where it remained for another 6 to 10 years. Still releasing energy.
Right. That's a solid pellet of fuel, right? It's sedimentary rock. If you take flint and you just put a little bit of heat to it, all of a sudden it'll rapidly start burning on its own. It becomes self-sustaining. And if you were to take a big chunk of that flint and put a cooling coil around it, right, and run water through it to keep it cool at a certain rate, it will couple and it will continue to produce heat, and you'll be able to cool it so it doesn't burn too fast. A sedimentary rock, it just burns really fast, and what you're doing is you're only allowing it to burn at a certain rate, time domain.
But now that we know that, now that we know that all these different materials will interact with each other in certain fashions, then that should be able to speed technology up beyond our wildest imaginations.
Right. The government has really hindered us. The first electric bicycle was patented on the 1900s of August 21st, right? And what, just 2 years ago they came out with the first octocopter bicycle? That's 117 years ago. What the heck is going on? Wake up. Hello.
Well, people say knowledge is power, and so those that have knowledge know that they have a lot of power in that knowledge, and they can make a lot of money in that power and knowledge. And so they want to keep everybody else down there at the bottom believing that things aren't possible. When I talk to a mechanic about running a car on pure distilled water, the first thing that happens is their eyes roll back in their head, and they immediately go to the second law of thermodynamics. That's the very first place they all go to. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. Nonetheless, understanding physics and understanding science and how a microwave oven works, and that you can literally use a short, fast radio wave to rock a dipole molecule so rapidly that you produce friction, which in turn produces heat and pressure and cooks your food. And knowing that, and knowing how heat works, and
right.
How...
It's all you're doing is vibrating something, no matter how you're doing it. It's induced polarization.
Do you know that a mosquito can stand on top of water? And that mosquito can stand there forever and a day. Basically, a mosquito will plant their larvae down in the water, and they'll grow little squiggly things squiggling through the water, and the mosquito mama will fly off and suck the blood of whatever it can get the blood out of, and then it'll come back and it'll feed its babies. And so if you want to get rid of mosquitoes, it's as simple as throwing something in there that changes the density or the buoyancy of that water by dropping a little bit of dish soap in there. When that mosquito comes back to feed its young, it'll float to the bottom and drown. That's science.
A little bit of dish soap. How many houses are there in the world, and how many people are doing a load of laundry right now, and how much of that laundry soap is going down your drain? How much plastic is coming off your clothes, going into your water system?
Sure.
How much of that smelly nice soap is going down your sink right now? You know
soap.
What I mean? Like, it's so bad. It's horrible. Like, people are talking about chemtrails, but what are they doing on a day-to-day basis to contribute to those chemtrails?
So if you go around to stagnated ponds that are still and not moving, then you will find mosquito nests. And so we know this. And as far as the planet itself, the planet's working overtime right now to try to clean up messes that man's made. There's no chemical that man has ever made that the planet cannot deteriorate. The question is, do we got enough time to wait around for the planet to do the job that it does? They said that they needed clean, renewable, alternative energy. Guys like me step forward to say, okay, we'll help you resolve it, because we got some knowledge in physics and science, and we'll help you do that. When we step forward, we become the target of an attack of epic proportions. Myself personally have been called everything under the sun. And I've been even attacked by some of my friends because of views that I have. When I look at the world about a different method of using electricity, or if I say something like, I don't care about current watts and amps, you don't need current watts and amps in order to run something, Boy, I tell you what, that pretty much started a firestorm of epic proportions that tore the Dream Team apart. But in reality, what I should have been able to say, which I wasn't able to convey to them, is that I want to use energy in a completely different manner in which we do it right now. Tesla had AC current, Edison had DC current. Both of them still to this day are used. Back in the late 1800s, the plasma reactor was working full force. It was used to literally take Tesla's high voltage AC and turn it into Edison's high voltage DC to run Edison's DC elevators. So my theory in the late 1800s was proven to be scientific fact. Not fiction, fact. Where you could literally energize an inert gas into the fourth state of matter being plasma and generate heat and light and DC current.
Tesla was a prodigy of many great men from a few institutions. He wasn't the first to create AC though. There's many apparatuses that were well before his that are AC driving apparatuses. But he was definitely a prodigy of many great men, Isaac Newton, namely one of them. Faraday, another.
Well, the conversation going on between Truth Seeker in the chat room and Stephen Gibbons, worldwide spiritual enlightenment will be the savior of mankind. If that does not soon occur, we will continue this wild ride and lose control we may have. That's Truth Seeker. And then Stephen Gibbons said, Truth Seeker, where can we buy this spiritual enlightenment and how much does it cost? Or if by spiritual enlightenment you mean truth about the soul and how all things are connected, I got that already. And Truth Seeker said, you got it, Steve. Now if we can relay this info to every person on the planet, which seems like an insurmountable task, the world will become what we aspire it to be, in a world of love and compassion and selflessness. So, what did you get out of all that? Raymond, are you there? Nope. Raymond's got his microphone.
I'm here.
What did you get out of all that?
Whoa. You really want to hear it?
As long as it ain't foul-mouthing or degrading.
All right. Oh, I would really love to. But at the same time, how do you make DC when everything around you is AC?
When you talk about AC and DC current.
Hold up a minute. Now, how do you make DC?
You just asked me a question and I attempted to answer it and you told me to hold up.
Alright, so now I'm telling you to talk.
When you talk about AC current and DC current, we think directional. AC being unidirectional or omnidirectional, whatever the word terminology, high-tech terminology for basically sending out a fluctuating field, where DC current is a direct path to the source.
All right, go ahead.
And the reason why we use one as opposed to the other is for AC current, you can send it out farther because you're bumping that field as it goes. First wave, second wave, third wave, and as the wave's coming in behind it, it's bumping it out. And so you can send AC current out further than you can DC current because the friction generated by the DC current forcing its way through the resistance of whatever medium that it's going through, whether it be copper wiring or the atmosphere for that matter, it begins to slow down at a certain point. So you can send AC out further than you can DC. Now, if you use pulse DC, now you're on AC as well.
Thank you.
So, I understand how it works. And I understand that there's some sort of aggravating force that just seems to want to keep mankind from ever getting reaching its full potential. I don't care if the earth is flat. I don't care if the earth is round. I don't care if the earth is concave, convex, dodecahedron, trisangle, or whatever the heck you want to call it. If I'm standing back and I'm watching mechanically things going on, and the world says we have a need for this, and I step forward to help to answer that question, to put the solution, and then immediately am attacked by the same mice in the same maze searching for the same cheese, then I get frustrated. Does that make any sense to either one of you guys?
It makes a lot of sense to me. More than you could possibly imagine.
We're all searching for the same cheese. We're all searching for the same answers. And we're spending more time bickering over who's right and who's wrong in terminology than we are using scientific observation to understand that, hey, look, whenever you do this, it gets hot. Okay, how can we use this? You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I tell you what, I'm going to do something dangerous. Why don't you and Justin have a talk while I go answer Nathan's call? You guys got the radio show. Don't drop no A-bombs.
Let's just talk a minute.
Go ahead, Justin.
I've seen the care package that you gave to Jermaine. Very nice, very nice.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The amplifier and the piezo
I know all that, but I have no idea why he needs it.
The amplifier?
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
Jermaine's using the amplifier to he's amplifying. How do I say it? Like, I don't really want to talk about it, but I will talk about it.
He's
using a horseshoe magnet with two coils on it, and he's going to use the amplifier to amplify power into the coil, and whenever you use a coil with an iron core and you induce the copper coil, it's a multiplication factor of amplitude at the end of the poles on the iron. And he's going to use the amplifier to drive those coils to create a mechanical piston to go back and forth. That's pretty much as much as I can say. Like,
alright, I believe in all kinds of stuff, right? Can I prove all kinds of stuff? No. I can give you theory. I can give you my observation. I can tell you what I've seen and what I haven't seen and what I believe is possible and what I believe is not possible. So with that said, I may be wrong in some of my assertions of what I believe that gravity is, or space or time or whatever. But when it comes down to the basic science and seeing and believing and all that kind of stuff, we know that water is one of the most stable molecules on the planet, and it is also one of the most destructive molecules on the planet. And we know that heat is one amazing force that can not only forge metal with, keep you warm, incinerate you into dust, basically transform life into existence. So if the entire planet just completely was overcome by heat, then we'd all die. So those are the blatantly obvious things. We're standing in the year 2017 and somebody else on the globe is dying of thirst. It's ridiculous. We're standing in the year 2017 and somebody on the planet is dying of starvation. It's ridiculous. Ridiculousness, to be exact. It's 2017 and we've still got wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence and mad science. Wouldn't be no reason for mad science if people could get their act together.
Amen.
Now I say, we have every solution necessary to resolve all the problems of the planet. And providing the average Joe decides to utilize this knowledge, it's amazing that I have a friend of mine who believes in aliens from outer space, that they came down and genetically modified humans, and they had all this amazing technology that could defy all the known laws of physics and basically get them from trillions of light years away over here to genetically alter our body structure from monkey to man. But if I told that same individual about running a car on pure distilled water, he would give me a million and one excuses why it's not possible.
Because it will not make money.
Well, aliens apparently
make
money.
But what is money, though? Really, what is money? Ontario just donated...
What is money?
Right. Ontario just donated $72 million, right? So, there's only 40 million people in Canada, 39 and change, right? So, that's like $1.9 million each in everybody's pocket. But then also, Canada just donated, as an entire whole country, just donated $272 million. And then Alberta donated $54 million. And then British Columbia donated another $25 million. You see, now that if you divide all that money up by 40 million people, everybody's at $40 million. So, where does that money come from?
Right. Where did the money come from?
All right. So, with that said, money stinks. So, all right, look. People say gravity exists. You can't see gravity. And when you ask them, what is gravity and how is gravity and why, they will tell you, well, we don't know exactly what it is, but we can observe that when you drop this microphone, that gravity sucks it to the ground. What if gravity wasn't sucking it to the ground? What if pressure was pushing it to the ground? What if the mass of that microphone wasn't as buoyant as the gas that you're walking around in, and so it literally sunk to the bottom of the fishbowl? What if?
What if?
So,
that's a big hurt.
You know, me and Sir Isaac Newton would have had interesting conversations had I been there when he was there. Me and Einstein would have had some brilliant conversations as well. Me and Tesla would have had a blast because we'd been blowing up the lab for real. We've been trying it before we deny it. See, that's the thing about Tesla, is he wasn't willing to step outside. He wasn't willing to not step outside the box to try something to observe what the outcome was going to be. It was brilliant. True Seeker says, all energy is everlasting. It is only converted in form. Yeah, we figured that one out. That's true. We are enveloped in a negative energy which has been sustained through separation, deception, and programming to accept it as the norm. But again, it is just energy which is convertible to positive by realization of what we are here for. To serve and love one another, and that there is truth, the existence of a soul, how we conduct that essence is the key. I can go with that. You know, my views on how the world got here and other people's views on how the world got here. Maybe they don't always match in terminology, but once again, science goes all the way back to the Big Bang Theory. Creation goes all the way back to the Big Bang Theory, and both of them say that it just suddenly happened, and, well, one says that it was spoken to existence, and my question was, once I heard both sides of the story, I said, well, let me ask you a question. Here it goes. Are you ready for this? I said, here's my question. Science says that you have to have oxygen, a fuel source, and ignition source in order to start a fire. So my question to both sides of the fence is, who or what lit the match? Yeah, I heard that same noise through that chirp, 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 squeak, 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 chirp.
Good question.
Who or what lit the match?
Who or what lit the match?
Looks like we lost Justin. We lost Thomas, we lost Muddy, and we lost Justin. See, because I put in here, in the chat room before I ever started this show today, if you are easily offended by someone questioning everything, today's show may not be for you. We've done lost three. Now it's up to you, Raymond.
Uh-oh. He's just shooting me.
So, I deliberately threw a grenade out there to shake the foundations of science and everything.
Yes, you did.
Because in mad science,
problem is, you didn't pull the pin.
Yeah, that's the question. Who pulled the pin?
No, you threw the grenade, but you didn't pull the pin. Now it's all up to who's going to pull the pin.
Yeah, who's going to do it?
Not me, sucker. Hey, you threw the grenade, I ran to catch it. Because I knew you didn't pull the pin. So, who lit the match that started the Big Bang?
That's right.
Right. So, you and I are sitting here playing catch with a grenade. So, and both of us know the pin ain't pulled yet. So, who's going to pull the pin?
It's like on, that man. Game Hot Potato, man.
It's just a piece of steel with a bunch of chemicals inside ready to go off, but some a-hole needs to pull the pin. But you're not an a-hole and neither am I. So we're going to play with this thing until we find somebody dumb enough to pull the pin. And when we do, we're going to get the heck out of the way, okay?
That's right, because once they pull the pin, the Big Bang Theory reenacts itself in that general vicinity.
All over again.
Yep. All right, so I'm hollering out to the world. I'm saying, look, we got answers. We got solutions. If you're ready to come together and put them in action. And, you know, there's people out there that are so concerned that we're all going to die from man's actions. I think we got a lot of dangers in this world, and I think we could die from wars and plagues and famine and pestilence. But I also understand that if we can get to enough minds in this world, we can resolve all those issues before they ever even come to be a problem. We can resolve the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famines if we, the people, decided that we were going to start working together as a team. And some people say, well, you know, you're too political. This is supposed to be about science. Well, sure, it's about science because scientifically, the observations that I've made, if people don't get their act together, they're going to pollute their water. Then they'll be hollering, they ain't got nothing to drink. The smart guy is going to go over and clean up the water and desalinize it and have something to drink. So the smart guy is going to live and the dumb guy is going to not. I don't think there's ever going to come a time in history with this power structure that we've got in place that everyone's going to be smart, because it seems to be an intentional dumbing down of the population occurring right before our very eyes. But it would be nice that if everybody in this world was to suddenly come to the realization that we can. That's it. We can. Not we can't. It was Henry Ford, I believe, said that if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. You know how old Henry Ford would be today?
Really old.
That was some pretty sound advice way back in the day.
No joke.
But
that's no joke.
They told Orville and Wilbur Wright that they would never be able to fly a plane, but they did. Right? They weren't extremely successful in their endeavors, but they did achieve flight. But from what they showed everybody, we're now flying around in jets.
If God had intended man to fly, he would have given him wings. Well, in reality, he did. We call it a Boeing 747.
Yeah. I'm going to add Muddy to the call and see if he picks up. Blessed are those who hear the word and the renaissance therein. True Seeker, 2261. Buddy, where you at? He got frustrated and hung up earlier. And I don't think he's going to pick up. Oh, well, we tried. Anyway. No. What?
Never mind.
Hi, buddy. Buddy, buddy.
He's there.
Unmute your mic, buddy.
All right.
So, what do you think about today's madness? Buddy?
He's trying.
I clearly gave a warning to everybody.
Alright.
I said, if you are easily offended by someone questioning everything, today's show may not be for you.
I love it.
I am a repeat offender.
Uh-oh.
I repeat, I am a repeat offender.
Cool.
I repeat, I am a repeat offender.
Alright, well, Pete and Repeat were in a boat, who'd be left?
Just don't, just...
If Pete and Repeat were in a boat and Pete fell out, who'd be left?
You.
Yeah.
Come on.
Anyway. So, I'm talking about a new way of looking at things. That's the whole key. A new way of looking at energy. A new way of looking at solutions to resolve the world's problems. Maybe it's not even a new way. What do you think, Marty?
Come on.
Is he talking to the dog?
Come on.
He's really talking to the dog on live radio. Ah! This is what makes mad science mad science. Buddy. Ah. Oh, man. Alright, so anyway. Until he gets back. Raymond, are you there? Y'all gonna drive me to drinking. Raymond boy, when are you gonna get your act together? Ha! So we got Raymond squeaking the chair, Muddy trying to wrangle up the dogs.
It just went away. I'm sorry.
Put some oil on it.
I've been saying that forever. Anyway, I started a YouTube channel some time back, and I called it, let me get on there real quick. Let me get it going here. Computers never work fast when you want them to.
Ruin.
I clicked on that. Now, I'm on my channel on YouTube. So if you go to www.youtube.com/channel/blah blah blah, or just go over to YouTube and search up Shaziz, you'll find my channel. It says right on the front page of the YouTube channel, Shaziz's Mad Science, the home of high voltage. Now, it also talks about somewhere on the Shaziz Radio website is the search for free energy. And high voltage to me means a whole lot more than it does to some other people. Some other people it might just mean nifty fireworks. But what it means to me is that high voltage is able to travel through all kinds of stuff, including you. So it's pretty powerful. At the right frequency, voltage can literally burn right through the insulation of a wire. High voltage can
literally... And get burned through your skin, too.
Yeah, high voltage can start a fire. I mean, check this out. A lightning bolt. How many volts of electricity you think's in one lightning bolt? Yeah? Steven said, they already done drove me to drinking today. I have had water, coffee, tea, and that order. That is all. And you're welcome, Truth Seeker. Oh, the last message wasn't for us. Alright, so anyway, basically using everything that people thought that was bad is now, according to my scientific observations, good. And so that's why I have trouble trying to explain to people why it is that I believe you can run a car on straight water without any kind of salt additives or anything like that. Using what we know from induction heating to diesel engines to the internal combustion engines to vacuums to all the scientific anomalies of every device under the sun, all combined into one nifty unit to take those laws of physics and use them to your advantage, move the energy where you want it to go. Focused heat engine can be built. If a focused heat engine was built, it not only lasts longer than everything else, but it would utilize all the things that they said couldn't be done. And all these so-called naysayers in the world would have to shut up and eat crow. You would literally have the holy grail of free energy devices right there in your hands. Not some hoodoo voodoo version like the old Keshi deal where you gotta love your reactor because if you're a jerk you're not getting free electricity. Under my electricity plan, even a jerk would get electricity. What do you think, Raymond?
You're right. I really, really think you're right.
Well,
there is no voodoo. There is no voodoo. It's not magic. There is nothing magical in the universe.
It's just science, man.
You got that right.
Science, observation, whatever you want.
You jump off of a building, you're going to get hurt. If you're on a planet of positive gravity. Now, if you jump off a building on a planet with negative gravity, you're going to float.
Even if you jump off a building with gravity. As long as you use science and you take some gear along with you, you can float down.
Okay, right. Now you're talking. Now you're talking real science.
Well, it don't make no sense to put training wheels on a pogo stick. So.
I love it, man.
That's why I call it mad science.
If you did that, you'd fall flat on your butt.
Yeah, you would. The laws of physics would kick in for every action's an equal and opposite reaction. When you come to a dead stop as you jump on that pogo stick, it would flip you over because that energy would have to transfer some way, and since you're not tied up to the left or the right or anywhere else in between, you're going to face plant. It's like, well, I don't even understand why they even designed the hoppity hop. Do you remember the hoppity hop?
Yep.
Yep.
Those things are nuts.
I miss mine.
Did you ever try to go down the stairs with a hoppity hop?
No.
I did.
I did.
And I loved
it. How'd it work for you, Shaziz? Did you get video?
I learned about centrifugal force, centrifugal force, gravity, and many, many more laws of physics and science all in one shot as I went tumbling down because of the circumstances that I found myself in when I hit that first step and rolled on down the hill.
Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 back up. I went down the hoppity hop. And when I got to the bottom, my kids were laughing.
Yeah?
Yeah, they were laughing their butt off. I mean, and I didn't get hurt. So I ran back up the stairs, and I did it again. And they laughed even harder. And I didn't get hurt. I went down the stairs. Like laying on a bed of nails.
You slid down the stairs?
Yep.
I bounced down the stairs.
Do what?
Yeah, a hoppity hop is where you set your butt on it and you bounce, right? Well, I tried to bounce down the stairs.
I didn't bounce.
I didn't fare so well.
I throwed the curve. And when I got down, the kids were laughing. I said, whoa, wait a minute, let's do this again.
When I got down, there wasn't nobody around to laugh. It was just me and my misery as I face planted into the wood floor.
Hey, you should have had your kids there, boy.
Do you remember the School of Hard Knocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was one of the professors at the School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and I graduated that, but I didn't get a diploma.
Anyway.
Yeah, right. I didn't get a diploma. I went to your School of Hard Knocks. I passed.
Yeah, it hurt though, didn't it?
No. I passed, but I didn't get a diploma. Duh.
Alright. Anyway.
All right.
Back to some science and common sense.
Yeah.
All right.
I did jump off the roof with my hoppity hop.
Truth Seeker says, and I must disagree with your guest, Shaziz. The is one thing. I don't know. That's kind of a misspelling or mispunctuation. There is one thing that defies science, and it is marvelous in our universe, and that's the human soul. Sure, and I ain't got no problem with that. I believe in God. I believe in a higher power, and that's against science, according to some folks. But, you know, nonetheless, I try to tell people, you got more power than you can possibly imagine. You got the power of the spoken word, you got the power of your actions, you got the power of love, you got the power of your whatever. And if utilized properly, You can take your voice and you can lift somebody up to the highest points of heaven, or you can take your voice and you can drop them down to the lowest depths of hell. There's more there than meets the eye when it comes to science. How do you have that power, man, to make people believe that they're worthless? How do you have that power to literally make people believe that things aren't possible? Somebody in this world figured out that things were possible, but they didn't want anybody to know that things are possible, so they told everybody a bunch of hocks a hooey in order to make them believe this is dangerous. Galen winds are sitting rocked around eating uranium and stuff for a long time in his life. He lived to be 82 years old. The average lifespan is anywhere from 60 to 100 years if you're lucky. So, did he die of radiation sickness because of what he was eating? Did he die of leukemia because of the radioactivity? Or did he die of natural causes? That's the question for science to answer. But if science lied to us and said that radioactivity was dangerous, we all know that if you stand directly in front of a microwave, you're going to boil and burn yourself. But what if you stand 100 miles away from that same thing, or only 5 miles away from the same thing? You're not even remotely affected by that wave because of the way that that wave travels. So, common sense would dictate that as long as you're not standing on the hot spot, you're not going to get burned.
Wait a minute. I got a question.
What?
What if you're cold and you stand in front of a microwave, but further away than it's dangerous, now all of a sudden these microwaves are gyrating the molecule of liquid in your body, which we all know your body is more than 95% water. These gyrations, this molecules bouncing into each other are going to cause heat, but you're not being affected by the microwave. But yes, you are. Think about this, man. If you could generate microwaves and gyrate the water in your body, you would be warm.
No, you'd
be... If you get too close, you're going to boil. If you get too far away, you're going to get cold. But if you get the right sweet spot, you're going to be warm no matter where the heck you are.
There's no sweet spot when it comes to microwaves. The reaction would happen so rapidly that you would become physically ill in a matter of seconds. Body's really? 98.6 degrees. The microwave is spinning through so fast that it literally rocks the water molecule so rapidly, instantaneously, that produces friction, which in turn produces heat, and you would be really sick really fast. Now,
really?
The further you are away from the microwave, when the microwave is no longer a microwave, after smashing into atmospheric conditions such as hydrogen and oxygen, nitrogen and dust and whatever else is in the air, would slow that microwave down to the extent that the leftover wave coming through your body would be comfortable, such as radiant heat that you use to warm your house.
Really?
Yes.
You sure about that?
Positive. 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you're standing directly in a microwave, if you're going to stand directly in a microwave, you're going to fail because of the physics of what is actually occurring at that point in time. They only call it a microwave because it's a short, fast, super fast wave. That's why they call it a microwave. And at that speed that the microwave goes through your body, instantaneously from the inside out, your water molecules will begin to boil so rapidly that it would change the temperature of your body and you would become physically sick in a matter of a split second.
So where's the 100 mile mark?
You wouldn't even notice it.
So where's the 50 mile mark?
You're still not going to notice it. 2 feet away from the microwave, you will not notice it.
1 foot?
Still ain't going to notice it.
Oh, 1.5 feet?
If you're within 6 inches of that microwave, it's going to boil your body water.
Okay, that's my point.
And I tested this...
Where is the sweet spot?
I have tested this theory in a lab setting with a microwave completely out of its chamber, No shell on it, just the microwave, the magnetron. I have tested this theory, and you could put a glass of water 6 inches in front of that microwave magnetron. It will boil the water.
Okay.
Anything past that, it won't boil the water. The microwave...
Well, the water get warm.
The micro... No.
No?
No.
So, 6 inches, it boils.
Yep.
12 inches... The 9 inches, it doesn't get warm?
The microwave is a short-lived frequency unless you have... an amplification system that will literally bump each wave out farther and farther. Like if you turned it up to millions of volts and created a microwave, you could fry Mighty in Texas, or where's he at? Yeah, on the other side of Texas where you're at.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get at.
You have to specifically engineer that to literally bump that wave out farther and farther and farther and further, like the Tesla coil. That's the way the Tesla coil works. You energize the primary, it sends up a wave. Before that wave gets a chance to collapse, the second wave's coming in behind it. The same thing with the Slayer exciter circuit using transistors. When you introduce that wave, and the wave is actually going in a complete 360-degree circle, a sphere, spherical shaped magnetic field that is being created, so underneath it and on top of it and off to the sides of it, for however the strength of that field is, it sends a wave out like a bubble. Boop! Alright, and then whenever that bubble's getting ready to collapse, there's already another one in behind it, which pushes that first one out farther and farther and farther, and the faster you turn the switch on, the faster it happens, the farther it goes out. But see, with the Slayer exciter circuit, that is happening so rapidly that the field doesn't have a chance to expand until it finally maximums out. So like a average Slayer exciter, you can get probably about 12 inches away from it, and then you lose that wireless energy transmission. If you amp it up to about 100 volts, you can get out a little bit farther. But the circuit is happening so fast that the field is collapsing too fast for it to send it out. Slow that wave down, bump that wave out with the next wave in line, and that's how you're able to send AM transmissions and FM transmissions to up to 5 miles before you have to pick that signal up, repeat it, and send it out again. That's
wow.
The way it works. But once you have that knowledge in your head, now you know how to use it.
Wow.
So, nature's calling. You guys want to have a conversation and take the show over?
Yeah.
Now I go ahead and go to a song break.
All right. Song break coming up. Do-do-do-do-do. I'll throw this one in. It's a long one. All right. You're listening to Matt.
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Mad Science. For those folks out there who were offended by today's show, I apologize. But in the world of mad science, there's a reasoning. There's a method behind my madness, why I will run up and throw a brick through the window of reality in order to get everyone's attention. There's a reason why there's a lightning bolt crack at the majority of my videos. It's a wake-up call. A wake-up call to the potentials of a reality beyond that of what you've been taught in a school book. Maybe I'm not the smartest man in the world. Maybe I'm not even the most brightest or the best looking guy in the world. Sometimes I like to tell myself I'm a good looking super genius of epic proportions. And that comes with a lot of responsibility, because you can't just sling that stuff around because you could hurt someone. You have to use it in moderations. But nonetheless, back to common sense and reality. There is a right way to do things, and there's a wrong way to do things. That's what common sense says. That's what science says. If you're not willing to test the limits of what you're told by science or anything for that matter, then you're always going to be met with limitations. There's only so far you can go. You see that fence over there, young man? If you go past that fence, you will fall off the side of the universe and never be seen again. So long as you believe that, you will never ever cross that fence. Why not only cross that fence? I'm standing on the other side saying, hey, look at me, I ain't fell off the universe yet. This is science, this is physics, this is scientific observation. I'm observing myself standing on the other side of this fence and saying, hey, there's something different out here than what we're being told. I see things in a mechanical way, and I see things that they could be solutions to problems out there, and I know that there's 9 billion people on this planet. Each and every one of them given a different gift, a different skill, a different something. And what they haven't figured out yet is each one of those are the pieces of the puzzle that make the entirety of the big picture. Everything that you do, everything that you say, interacts with somebody who interacts with somebody else who interacts with somebody else on down the line. Once you understand what science says that electricity does, then you understand how to get started in your research to find the so-called free energy that you keep hearing me shout about. The world is surrounded in energy. Our Earth is a thermal, electric, generating, self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. However it got here, it's amazing. And if utilized properly in harmony with nature and the natural order of things, we could literally design systems that would blow your mind. Some people believe that there's a great lost city of Atlantis. And there's a lot of stories out there about how the technology that they had was so amazing. Some people believe that aliens had come from other planets far, far, far across the galaxy, so far, millions of light years, that by the time they got here, our generation would have done been gone for a billion years. Some people believe in ghosts. Some people believe in magic. Some people believe in all kinds of things. Bigfoot. The Loch Ness Monster. Some people believe in a higher creator. Some people don't. Some people believe science is science, and that's that. Some people believe the laws of physics are written in stone. I don't. I don't believe that anything that is theoretical has to be a law or true fact. I believe until we know everything there is to know, we're still learning. But from the point we stand in right here today, in the here and now, anyone with common sense stepping back and looking at the big picture says that we have every single answer to every single problem under the sun. We have the resources necessary, we have the knowledge available to us to literally produce a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. And there will be those who will come out of the woodwork and they will give you every reason possible and then some why it's not possible. You can never get everybody to agree on where to have lunch, let alone get everybody to agree on how to take care of the planet, is what they'll say. And there's nothing that you can do to resolve it. It was written in stone, and these things must come to pass. Humanity is doomed to fail, is what we were told. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that a divine creator would put us down here specifically for failure. I believe that a divine creator would put us down here and divide up all the knowledge amongst the people of the land and the talents and the skills so that one day we could learn the most important lesson of all. That together we make the big picture. And together, your talents and your gifts and mine complete the puzzle. And until we come to that stage of an enlightenment, then we'll continue to see the mistakes of the past. So yeah, OSHA's is started a fight today on mad science. And I even put a disclaimer right at the beginning. If you are easily offended by someone questioning everything, today's show may not be for you because I'm going to question your science. I'm going to question your beliefs. I'm going to question reality. I'm going to question everything that is there. I'm going to ask the question. I'm going to be that annoying. Why is the sky blue? Why is the wind blow? Why is the earth turn? Because I want to get down to the facts of it all. I want to know what you believe. I want to know what you can prove. If I say that we can run a car on pure distilled water, I want you to prove to me why it can't be done. And I don't mean just by some theoretical mathematic equation that you put out there to try to say that this isn't possible because of the second law of thermodynamics, which I'm so nauseated of hearing by now, it just makes me physically ill. I want you to build it, prove it. Prove it can't be done. Prove that plasma technology, in the sense that I've explained time and time and time again on this YouTube channel and this radio network, why it's not possible. Science says light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. So with that said, if I've got visible light, I've got heat. And if I know that I can produce a high frequency at a low voltage, that or literally a high voltage at a low current, a low wattage or amperage or whatever, if I can spin a turbine fast enough to get thousands of volts, then I can generate plasma, then in turn generate heat and generate light with little or no effort at all, just using the wind power alone. People call me crazy for pointing out the obvious.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Take what we've known, take what we've got before us. We're standing at a crossroads in time right now. We have what my friend Steve says is the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. We have access to some amazing equipment to where instantaneously, if we have a question, we can ask the masses out there, hey, do you know about this? Buddy's done research and he might already know the answer and Google it up and show me, bam, there, this is what somebody else has done. Raymond does the same thing. Thomas does it. Justin. All the folks in the chat room. Stephen Gibbons is really good about throwing links out there to pertinent information. That's what we do here on Shaziz Radio. We talk, we discuss, and every once in a while we shake it up a bit. But the reality is, the quest for free energy is over as far as I'm concerned. Now it's just a matter of putting it into a physical machine that will show those who choose to be in ignorance that it's possible. The school book said it wasn't. I say it is. So, where to go from there? The True Seeker says, the only real insanity is the lack of thirst for knowledge. Yep, I agree. So you guys got any thoughts on your mind before we bail up out of here?
Yeah, it's about that time, isn't it?
Yeah. Time flies when you're starting a fight.
Well, we got Wednesday night and Thursday night. Two different shows on Shaziz Radio and TCT and Haggy Shack Radio. 8 o'clock Central Time. On Wednesday, you have The Big Puzzle with Barry Prince, who brings in very interesting guests. And also, we have the National Advancement Party of Canada, formed weekly on Thursday night, 8 o'clock Central Time. We produce both of those and put them out here in Shaziz and TCT and Haggy Shack Radio. So, that's enough of that. And also, don't forget, every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock a.m., we got Shaziz Mad Science and then Shaziz Knights of the Round Table on Sunday.
Stephen Gibbons left you a message. He said, you can lead a muddy to knowledge, but you can't make him think. It's all like Donkey Kong now.
I hear you. Also, my video shall start resuming here in about a week or so.
Cool.
And I should be doing well by then on that. Be busting my butt to make it happen, too. So,
good deal.
Wish me luck. And many good things to you and yours. God bless each and every one of you. I guess I'll hand it over to Raymond and see what he's got to say.
Not a whole lot. Just that, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, and if a little bitty word that takes a long territory. If you reduce the pressure, the water will warm, but it's not really hot, but it has a lot of temperature, a lot of heat. Come on, folks. All it takes is vibration. If it moves, it's empty. Think about it a minute.
The Boy Scout manual says you can rub two sticks together and start a fire.
Uh-huh.
It's the frequency at which you're rubbing those two sticks together that will determine how that thing finally meets its thermal breakdown and the fire begins.
Yep.
That's basic science, folks.
Basic
survival. There's a lot of waves out there in the world. There's light waves, sound waves, electrical waves, all kinds of waves. Energy travels in waves. You can see it in the ocean. You can see it in the pond. You can see it in the air as waves of gusts of wind come flying in and out. And they say for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. And so with that said, we know that any force we put on something will create another opposite force on the opposite side. And since we like to be cool in the summer, and we like to be warm in the winter, we utilize these portions of physics to do just that. I am saying to the world, we could take this farther, to infinity and beyond. If space actually exists, then why aren't we there? Let's go. To boldly go where no man has gone before. We don't even know everything there is to know about our Earth, because there's some places we just ain't figured out how to get to.
I love it.
Yeah, you can't get there from here.
That's right.
Gotta go somewhere else first.
Really? The Earth is overpopulated. Yeah. Really?
There's a lot about Earth and the inhabitants of Earth that we don't know about.
That's right.
All these people, you know, wanting to live together. I mean, think about it. New York City has got to be the friendliest place on Earth. Think about it. 9 million people living in one city. I mean, think about it. It's got to be the friendliest place on Earth.
Yep.
Yep. All these folks wanting to live together.
Huh. They just express it with less fingers.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I guess essentially what I've been trying to point out here today on Mad Science is question everything. It's as simple as that. If you're willing to question everything, you're willing to step outside the box, and you're willing to try something before you deny it, then there's possibilities all over the place. I see that we have everything we need to literally resolve all the issues of the world. They say the world's overpopulated. I say it's underpopulated. They say that things like time travel and interdimensional travel and space travel are not possible. We don't have the science to do it. We don't have the physics to do it. But I say that if you can think it, you can make it a reality. So maybe that makes me crazy. Do I believe in little green men? No, I ain't never seen one. But once I see one, you'll be the first to know, because I'll shout it out here on Mad Science. I found an alien. He's sitting right here. He'll be on the radio show with me.
And he looks just like Kermit D. Frog.
Yeah. And until we get to that point, I'm going to base what I got to base everything that I got on what I have been taught throughout my entire life and my skepticism of science and everything. You know? I believe there's a higher power that created all of this. So essentially, I believe in a God. Maybe there is and maybe there ain't. But, nonetheless, through my observations and my belief systems, that's what I am, that's who I am. But in this world that we live in, we're literally all on the same boat together. Whether we're flying through space on a globe, or we're flying through space on a frisbee, whether
it's...
What?
Huh. Oh, that was you interrupting you.
Oh, that was me interrupting me? See, that's that time warp thing we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I'm not here to argue with anybody over anything, because your perception is the same thing as science. Science is based on theoretical and proven observation or disproven observation, either way, how you ever want to look at it. I'm not the guy that one that takes the 9 times out of 10 that something happens the same, so we call it a law of physics. I'm the guy that's going to question why it is that 1 time out of 10 there was an anomaly that didn't make any sense. Why did that occur? In order to get down to the truth of all, then you need to understand all. And since we don't understand all, we call it theory. So, when it comes to whether we were created or whether there was a massive cataclysmic big bang in the beginning, Science told me that it takes three things to start a fire. A fuel source, an ignition source, and oxygen to start a fire. My question was to science. Who lit the match? What lit the match? And until those questions are answered, we don't know everything there is to know. But what we do know right now, today, is that we have access to an amazing amount of information that, if utilized properly, if we utilized all the resources of the earth properly and in perfect harmony with nature, and we used all of our talents and gifts together as one fine, well-oiled machine, there is death.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair! And what on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an athlete. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores... This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt? How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts? Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium was available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Oh, God, stuck here. I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
She's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.